Hello there, and welcome to Grimm Reading, where each episode we read and review a Brothers Grimm tale. My name is Matthew Hughes, and with me on this journey is my co-host, Mr. Adam Field. This week on Grimm Reading,
Grimbledon, Group B.
So make yourself comfortable and prepare for a
Grimm Reading.
Hello and welcome to Grimbledon, where we're putting our highest scoring Brothers Grimm tales against each other to decide which is their best story. This time, it's the Group B battle off.
Matt, who is in Group B?
Excellent question. We have in Group B the stories Little Red Riding Hood, The Three Little Men in the Wood, Sleeping Beauty, The Elves and the Shoemaker, and the story of the youth who went forth to learn what fear was.
Matt.
Yeah?
It would be an understatement to say I'm looking forward to this group.
Would it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good, because you're in for a treat. So
I can't wait.
We will be recapping those five stories. Then we'll be launching a special awards poll for patrons. And then we'll round things off by reading a children's legend, one of the Brothers Grimm's children's legends that we started last time.
So, in other words, a jam-packed episode.
It's going to be jam-packed, so should we get right into it?
Let's not waste any time.
Okay.
I've got my walking boots on. I'm ready to head back down memory lane.
Let's get right back into memory lane, Adam. Let's go.
Let's go.
First up is the top seed of the group. It's Little Red Riding Hood.
Little Red Riding Hood. Recap.
So this is a summed up version of Little Red Riding Hood, the Brothers Grimm version. There was once a girl who had a very loving grandmother who gave her a little red velvet cap, which is all she ever wore, so she got the nickname Little Red Riding Hood, or Little Red Cap, as it was in our book.
Yeah.
But we went with Little Red Riding Hood because that's how everybody knows her.
It's iconic.
One day her mum said, Little Red Cap, take this piece of cake and bottle of wine to your grandmother. She's not well and it'll cheer her up. But don't stray off the path or you might smash the bottle by accident.
good advice.
So she set off. When she got to the woods, a wolf appeared. He said, good day, Redcap. Where are you heading? Oh, my grandmother's. Oh, nice. Yeah. Where does she live again? Just up the road in the wood. And he thought, yum, yum, yum. It's my lucky day. Granny and granddaughter. So he said, what a lovely day, isn't it? Why don't you go explore a bit and look at the flowers and frolic around? And Little Red Riding Hood took his advice, went frolicking off the path, and like picked a bouquet for Granny. But in the meantime, the wolf had run ahead.
Bad idea.
Knocked on Granny's door and said, it's me, Red Cap. She said, come in. Then he ate her up, put on her clothes, shut the curtain and hopped in the bed.
Naturally.
As one does. Finally, Red Cap arrived and found the door open. Weird.
That's weird.
She walked up to the bed. Oh, grandmother, what big ears you have. All the better to hear you with, my child. Grandmother, what big eyes you have. All the better to see you with, my dear. But granny, what large hands you have. The better to hug you with.
Yeah, and I think we discussed you don't hug with your hands, you hug with your arms.
Oh, but gran, what a terrible big mouth you have.
The better to eat you with.
And he gobbled her up in one go and fell asleep. Now the hunter happened to pass by the house.
The hunter.
And heard snoring.
Yeah.
And so he poked his head in. He knocked. He was like, hello, it's me, the hunter. So he poked his head in to check and he saw the wolf. So he took a pair of scissors, cut the wolf open, and Red Cap and Grandma flopped out. Red Cap then ran to fetch some stones. They put them inside the wolf's belly, sewed him up. The wolf woke up, stood up, and died.
That is not how you want your day to start, is it?
The hunter then skinned the wolf for the pelt, and Red Cap thought, never again shall I stray from the path when mother says no. And then, if you remember, there was a little coda, a little extra bit at the end.
Oh, yes.
It is also related that, again, another wolf tried to entice her from the path.
Right.
But she said no. And went straight to Granny's this time. But the wolf had followed her and he knocked on the door and said, "It's me, Red Cap." Bad plan. She's already there.
Yeah.
So nobody answered, and he hid on the roof, waiting for Red Cap to leave in the evening to go home. So what to do? What are they going to do?
That's a tricky one.
In front of the house was a trough.
Yeah.
So Granny hatched a plan. I can see Adam smiling.
Yeah. I like this bit.
She said, "Look, I've been making sausages."
Yeah.
"Take the excess sausage water and go fill the trough, Red Cap."
Sausage water?
So she snuck out, poured the water in the trough and raced back in. When she'd done it, the wolf could smell the sausages.
Naturally.
So he stretched out to get a whiff, slipped and fell in the trough where he drowned. And then Red Cap went home. The end. And that is story number 26 in the Brothers Grimm's Fairy Tales, Kinder and Hausmarken.
Mm-hmm.
It was Grimm Reading story number 79. So it's the 79th story we read.
Right.
And Adam, you scored it 9 out of 10, and I scored it 9 out of 10.
Excellent.
For a grand total of 18 points, and it was the winner of Series 4.
I like it when we're in total agreement. It's nice. Yeah. It's a good feeling. I think...
I know you like it. It doesn't stress you out.
No, exactly. Like, have I underscored it, overscored it, blah, 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 blah. It's like, we both agree, that's a great story.
That is an 18.
It really is. That's an 18 if ever I've heard it.
Well, is it? Exactly. So this is, you know, this is the recap.
This
so
is it. This is re-evaluation time, I guess.
Does it hold up?
I think so. I think it does. And then the coda. See, I'd totally forgotten all that. I had vague memories of the sausage water and stuff. I forgot that was part of like the coda. So yeah, that the look on my face was excitement when that came up again. Love that. And the way it ties into other stories as well. I think we obviously talked about that at the time, but the stones in the stomach is reminiscent of the wolf and seven little kids.
Yeah, we did a whole big thing on that.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? I mean, this was, I guess, while still a little while ago, was one of the more recent stories. So I do remember it reasonably well.
Yeah. Well, we got some golden oldies in here.
Yeah, exactly.
That you won't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it was story 79, so fairly recent. So yeah, if you do want to go back, have a listen. That is the episode number 79.
79, yeah.
I think it is good, isn't it? It's one of the ones I was most excited to read, along with The Elves and the Shoemaker, which is also in this group. When we started, they were the two I really wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And I do really like it. One thing I would say is it doesn't seem to know how to end, because it has that little coda as well.
Yeah.
And this is the Brothers Grimm version. So the Perrault version had a different ending, which if it makes it to the semi-final, we'll talk about that there. At the moment, we're just focusing on the stories. But at the same time, I think, like Hansel and Gretel in the last group, the architecture is so solid in this one. You've got the girl in red, the interdiction from the mum, don't stray off the path, the scary villain, the big bad wolf, and then the hiding as grandma.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
It really is.
It's such a solid foundation and it just delivers, I think. But it doesn't seem to know how to end, is my only feeling.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, in a sense, it ends with them having learnt their lesson. I guess they learnt their lesson, but in the end, that didn't really necessarily help them with the second wolf that came along. They had to come up with another ploy to dispense of that foe.
It's true, but she didn't stray off the path.
It's true.
She went straight to Granny.
She just, even if you fix this one more lesson, the troubles aren't over, I guess, is the meta lesson.
I like that it's, the reason she says don't stray off the path is because it's you'll break the bottle of wine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're a clumsy girl. God's sake. Yeah.
Not because
it's like dangerous or anything. It's just because you're just going to smash the wine, Red Cap.
That's all she cares about. That's the wine.
And that whole bit with what big ears you have, that's just so good. And so perfect for storytelling.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so good. And like you say, it's that rich, classic fairy tale imagery, isn't it? The little Red Cap. And that particularly the wolf in the bed with the... I mean, I'm picturing like maybe a bonnet or something, some sort of like nighty or something.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
How does this keep happening? That's mad. Yeah. I guess we've seen this depicted so often.
Must be,
from childhood.
From that,
onwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's already kind of inbuilt, which is why I like when we do read these famous ones and they are a bit different or they have elements you don't expect.
Yeah.
I love that because we have such a clear image of these stories and yeah. then they can kind of, you know, swipe the rug under your feet
totally,
in certain
yeah.
moments. But yeah, that's the top seed for Group B.
Wow. I mean, strong start.
Very strong start. Well, yeah. let's see if the second seed can compete. The next story, Adam, is The Three Little Men in the Wood.
Yes. The Three Little Men in the Wood. Recap.
There was a man whose wife had died and a woman whose husband had died. They both already had a daughter each who knew each other.
Oh, yeah.
Is that clear?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. The woman told the man's daughter that she'd like to marry her father. Go tell your dad.
Yeah.
And if that happens, I'll let you drink wine and wash in milk every day.
Washing milk?
Wash in milk.
Oh, wash in milk. All right. She's not drinking the washing milk. I see.
So she went and said to her dad, oh, my friend's mom wants to marry you. He said, oh, marriage is a joy, but it's also a torment. What shall I do?
Oh, I remember this guy.
I know. And then he took off his boot, pierced a hole in it, and said, hang this up and fill it with water. If the water holds, I'll get married. So she went and did that. The water did indeed hold in the boot. So he wooed the woman and they became a big family.
Is he wooing her with one just like sapping wet foot? Like, hi, hello there.
He's got a serious game.
Yeah. She's like, oh, that's my guy.
So they're all living together now. After a few days, though, the new stepmom stopped giving the girl milk and wine and started treating her terribly because the girl was so good-looking and her own daughter was repulsive.
Oh, no, not repulsive.
And one day she basically planned to offer.
Oh, dear.
It was snowing and cold, and she said, I've got a hankering for some strawberries. Put on this paper frock and go get me strawberries. And she forced the girl out of the house. So the girl went out into the wood and eventually stumbled on a little cottage where three elves lived. They said, come in, make yourself at home. What are you doing out there in that skimpy frock? She said, thank you very much. I'm here to get strawberries. They looked at each other and said, take this broom and go out back and sweep the snow. She went out and under the snow found full ripe strawberries and filled up her basket.
Incredible.
While she was gone, though, they were having a chat. And they all agreed, wow, she's so good. You know, what should we give her as a reward? And one said, my gift is that she'll grow more beautiful every day.
I remember this.
The second said, my gift is every time she speaks, gold pieces will fall out of her mouth.
Yep.
And the third's gift was that a king will take her for a wife.
That's a good set of presents.
Yeah. Although, as we commented at the time, I don't think you want gold to fall out of your mouth every time you talk.
No, and you don't want to get, like, infinitely beautiful.
Yes.
To the point where, like...
They seem like good presents.
Yeah.
But actually, it's a curse, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So she went home and told the family what had happened. And the stepsister thought, I want a little bit of this action. So she rocked up at the elf's gaff.
Yeah.
This is the repulsive stepsister, just for the record. Yeah. She didn't say hello and just awkwardly walked in and sat down and ate her bread.
I remember this. Just awkward.
They said, the elf said, share that with us. Because, you know, the other girl did. But she was like, no, there's barely enough for me. And then they said, take this broom and sweep up out back. And she said, do it yourself, elf. And then just left and went home. The elves were not impressed with this behavior.
Rude.
And they said, what should we give her? Because she was so awful. And one said, my gift is she'll grow more ugly every day. The second gift, every time she speaks, a toad will spring out of her mouth.
Ugh.
And the third went really extreme and said, I grant that she'll die a miserable death.
I mean, yeah, there's no topping that, is there?
No. Back home, it's not a happy place.
No, I'm sure.
The stepmom was furious. She boiled some yarn, threw it at the girl and said, rinse that. The girl went out to rinse the yarn.
Hang on.
Suddenly, a carriage rocked up.
Yeah.
A king poked his head out and said, hello, who are you and what are you doing? And she said, I'm a poor girl and I'm rinsing yarn.
Woo! He said the line. He said
the line.
It's the line,
Adam.
Epic.
Early catchphrase.
Yeah. I'm a poor girl and I'm rinsing yarn.
Why haven't we got that on a t-shirt? What's wrong with us?
It's on our to-do list, I think.
I think it is, actually.
It literally is. Love it. Love that line.
So good.
It's transcendent.
It's just the perfect riposte.
It really is.
What do you say to a king who pokes his head out?
I'm
says,
a
what
poor
are you doing?
Girl and I'm rinsing yarn.
But it worked like a charm. The king said, hop in. They went back to his palace and got married.
Yay.
Yay.
A year later, she'd had a son. And her stepmother and sister heard the news and they went to visit her. And when they got to her room, they grabbed her by the hair, threw her out the window into the stream.
Ouch.
The stepsister then got into the bed and hid under the duvet. And when the king came back and came to the bed, the stepmom was in the room and she said, don't disturb your wife. She's in a violent perspiration.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when he tried to talk to her, a toad came out of her mouth instead of gold.
Mm.
And he was like, this is weird. And the mum said, don't worry, it's the perspiration. That night, though, the kitchen boy saw a duck swim up the gutter.
Oh, wow.
And it sang a question at him asking, how is the king and what of my little baby mine?
Yeah, see, this is a bit where it all falls apart. What is going on? What is happening?
And the duck then turned into the queen.
What are you talking about?
And went and nursed the baby, and then it swam off down the gutter again. This happened 3 times. The final time, the duck said to the kitchen boy, tell the king to swing his sword over me 3 times. The king swung and the duck turned back into his wife. And he then learns what has happened to her.
Yeah.
But he bided his time.
Yeah.
At the christening of the kid, the king turned to the audience and said, what would you do if someone threw someone out of a window? The stepmom shouted, they deserve to be put in a barrel full of nails and thrown in the river. The king said, well then, you've pronounced your own sentence.
Oh.
And they were killed. The end. That was story number 13 in Kinder and Housemarken, and it was Grim Reading story number 4.
Four.
The fourth story we ever read.
Just to double check, when you say number 4, is that counting Hans in Luck and Old Sultan as 1 and 2?
No.
Oh.
No, okay. It's not, because that was in episode 1.
Yeah.
So we counted that as 1. So you're right,
one
actually.
One episode, but 2 stories.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So technically the 5th story we read.
Yeah.
But it's Grim Reading episode number 4.
So this is going way, way, way back.
Way back. It's a golden oldie.
It really is.
And it was a real showstopper at the time.
Yeah.
First proper epic fairy tale. And it was rewarded adequately. Adam, you gave it a score of 9. And I gave it a score of 8.5.
Wow.
For a total of 17.5. Making it the first time you've given a higher score than me in all of Grimbledon so far.
Oh, is that the first time?
Yeah, 7th story.
Well, I stand by that. I really think that's a great story.
Yeah?
And
it's quite long, actually.
It's long, and it's sort of mental, but it came so early on, we didn't really have a good gauge or good calibration for the scoring. At this point, remind me then, we had heard Hans in Luck, Old Sultan.
The Mouse, the Bird and the Sausage.
Oh, yes.
Thumbling.
Oh, there you go. And then
Three Little Men in the Wood.
So I suppose at the time it felt like, here we go.
Yeah.
This is fairy tale territory.
Yes, exactly.
Which may go some way to explaining the high scores. But I think even now we've completed Volume 1, going back and revisiting that a little bit, I think it's pretty good.
It's a great story, yeah. I love the little details, again, really help, like the vividness of the snow and strawberries.
Yeah.
The paper frock, that really brings it to life, those images.
Yeah.
The name is brilliant, The Three Little Men in the Woods, quite mysterious, enticing name.
Totally.
But they aren't actually even the central part of the story.
No.
And actually, thinking about those elves, it made me realise this is basically a kind of proto Snow White. It's, you know, the little girl's kicked out of home from the evil stepmother and then ends up staying with some funny little guys in the wood who help her out. But, you know, rather than just the sort of wicked stepmother queen, we've got the sibling as well. But it's very similar to Snow White.
Yeah.
Until it goes mad with the whole duck part.
Yeah, what is that? What is that?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But we absolutely loved how insane it was back when we first heard
totally,
it.
Totally, yeah. And then it ends in a classic Grimm's fairy tale fashion with a gruesome death.
Yes, exactly.
Barrel full of nails. Was it down the hill into the river or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a way to go.
And also, I like the hiding in the bed part. The thing is, there's so much going on in this story. That whole bit, the hiding in the bed and killing your sibling and pretending to be them, that's actually in a Basile story that we've not read. So that is a whole motif in its own. And I think we need to read that.
Definitely, we do.
Because I think that is played with a lot more by Basile, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
But there's just a lot going on in this story.
Yeah.
And I do think it holds up.
I think
but I
it does.
I don't know if that's because it was an early one and it really affected us at the time. And if we'd read it later, maybe it wouldn't have had such an impact.
Yeah, it's possible, but you can't rewrite or sort of relitigate history in that way, I suppose.
No. What's happened has happened.
What's happened has happened.
What's done is done. And I love that story.
Hearing it back now, though, I wish it dwelt more on the consequences of the presence and the curses.
I knew you were going to say
that. Because it'd be like, I want to know what life is like every time you speak. Gold coming out. I mean, I want to know what that's like. Same with the toad. Same with getting more ugly every day and more beautiful. What is life like that?
These are the real questions.
So when the king writes, oh, beautiful woman there. What are you doing? She doesn't just actually technically say, I'm a poor girl and I'm rinsing yarn. She goes, I'm a poor girl and I'm spitting out gold.
Yeah, that really adds a new element to that.
He fell in love with a beautiful gold dispensing person.
Oh, God. Stay depressed. Hop in. But don't speak too much. This is a long ride. We just weigh the carriage.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We just get stuck.
How do you even make... Don't worry about it. Don't explain. Yeah, mad.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but every element, all those elements...
So good.
They're just bonkers and brilliant, I think. Yeah.
Matt, I loved it.
I'm so glad. Right. Will you love the third seed, Adam, which is Sleeping Beauty? Classic fairy tale.
Competition is high. Sleeping Beauty recap.
There was a king and queen who couldn't have a baby. One day, though, the queen was bathing and a frog crawled out of the water and said, I've sorted you out, you're going to have a baby. And they did.
Hey.
They were very happy and organized a feast to celebrate the baby. Everyone was invited, including the wise women.
Oh, yes.
Now, there were 13 wise women, but the king only invited 12 because he didn't have enough gold plates.
Oh, I remember.
It was one short.
That's terrible planning.
At the feast, it's going really well, and the 12 wise women gave the girl gifts like beauty and virtue. But suddenly, the door burst open, and the 13th wise woman came in, who hadn't got an invite.
Yeah.
And she shouted, "The girl will, on her 15th birthday, prick her finger on a spindle and fall down dead." And then waltzed out. Party ruined.
Yeah.
That's why you don't leave people off your guest list.
Well, exactly.
The 12th wise woman, fortunately, hadn't yet given her gift. So she said, it shall not be a death, but a sleep of 100 years. So she diluted the death sentence. Yeah.
Couldn't you just delete the curse altogether? Well...
No, it shall be a sleep of 100 years. Now, on the girl's 15th birthday, the king and queen were out.
Look, I'm really scared that on her 50th birthday, well, it's her 15th birthday, let's go out, shall we? We've got plans, can't rearrange them.
These tickets were really difficult to get, darling. I'm so sorry. Have a great day. I'm sure you will. So she's all on her own.
Yeah.
And she's called Briar Rose, by the way.
Oh, yes.
The girl. She went up to a tower that she'd never been to in the castle. And in a room in there was an old woman spinning.
That will never not be funny to me. That will never not be funny.
And Briar Rose touched the spindle, pricked her finger, and then the whole castle seemed to go to sleep. The trees stopped blowing in the wind. Animals slept. The fire stopped. The meat stopped frizzling.
Oh, I remember that.
And a cook was about to slap the kitchen boy and he froze mid-slap.
Perfect.
And a mighty hedge of thorns sprouted up and enshrouded the castle. Over the following years, many young men tried to get in, but they got stuck in the thorns and died.
It's lovely, isn't it? That's sweet.
That's a little detail. Now, 100 years had just passed when a prince rode into town. He went to the inn and the barman told him the story. And he said, "I'm not afraid." And he went to the castle. But it was the 100th year. So instead of a thorn hedge, it was just lovely flowers now. And he went into the silent castle. He found Briar Rose. He leant down and kissed her. She opened her eyes and was awake. The castle became alive again. The king and queen woke up. So apparently they were still there.
Yes.
The fire roared. The roast meat started to frizzle. Yay. And the cook slapped the boy who screamed.
That's what we're all been waiting for, is the slap.
Adam literally punched the air.
Yes.
And they got married and had a great life together. Not the cook and the kitchen boy, Briar Rose and the prince. The end. That's a different story.
Imagine if that was what happened. After 100 years, she just slaps him and they're like, "Oh, okay, fine, we'll get married."
I know what this is really about. That was story number 50 in the Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Yep.
It was also Grimm Reading story number 50.
No way.
Yeah.
Did we make anything of that at
no,
the time?
No, we didn't realise. We had no idea.
That's crazy, man.
And the scores were as follows. Adam, you gave it 8.5 and I gave it 8.5 for a total of 17.
In agreement then.
Iconic story, isn't it?
It is iconic, for sure. It's
especially
one of the big ones.
That kiss.
Yeah. Hearing it back reminds me how many plot holes there are in it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I think when you touched on there, like, oh yeah, the parents are going out, but they're actually in the castle.
Yeah, we didn't even pick up on that at the time.
And I think we did pick up on this at the time, that actually the curse is that she'll sleep for 100 years, so the kiss has nothing to do with her revival.
Yeah, exactly. It's it doesn't say, you know, true love's kiss or whatever. It says she'll sleep for 100 years.
Yeah.
So it's completely undermined that idea we have. A bit like what I was saying in Red Riding Hood, that you have these ideas of these famous stories, but when you actually hear them, it's just completely different.
Completely, yeah.
So yeah, it totally waters down that whole kiss thing. You didn't even need to do it.
No, it's just total coincidence.
It's just absolutely creepy thing to do.
Yeah. She wakes up after 100 years, the prince kissing her. I mean, it's not nice, is it?
It's not what you want.
It's not.
You're going to be really groggy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the biggest sort of surprise in that story. I think so,
But
otherwise, it's a very simple story.
Yeah.
And, you know, Disney really had to beef it up to turn that into a movie.
They did, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what do you think of it? Because I've got to say, I feel maybe there are other ones I would have been happier to see in its place, like Snow White even, or other famous stories. Or not famous stories. I'm not 100% convinced on this one.
I'm glad you're saying that, Max. I kind of agree.
Really?
Yeah, and particularly realising that big parts of the story sort of don't make sense. Yeah, I mean, 8.5, maybe that was on the high side. Tell you what helps a little bit is that we both scored at 8.5.
Yeah.
No, there's no worry about blame, like we were in agreement.
What were we doing?
But maybe we did both just collectively overscore it.
God, we're absolutely destroying this story, aren't we? I feel look, if you want to prove us wrong...
Yeah, exactly.
Vote this... away and tell us why.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it's the same calibre as some of the other ones.
No. I think you might be right.
These are big words. This is why we needed the wild cards.
Yeah, to shake things up, yeah.
Yeah, to mop up the mess we made.
With the scoring...
But having said that, it does have merit to it. Dead princes in the hedge.
Yeah, it's that's great
pretty
image.
Good. Love the idea of the completely quiet castle. Everything's sort of frozen for 100 years.
Like Berner's Watch style, yeah.
And there's kind of like the like myth of it that the innkeeper says, oh, 100 years ago, they say. Quite like all that.
That's nice, yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is a bit... thin, maybe.
This story's not doing well, is it?
Well, we do have another famous one coming next, Adam. The fourth seed is the Elves and the Shoemaker.
I mean, I would say all killer, no filler, but after what we just had, maybe there's a little bit of filler.
All right, let's leave Sleeping Beauty alone now. Look, she did her best. She's very tired. Okay, let's move on to the Elves and the Shoemaker.
Let's do it. The Elves and the Shoemaker. Recap.
So we start this one, Adam, with the first story, if that rings any bells.
It doesn't.
There was once a shoemaker who was so poor that eventually he only had enough leather for one more pair of shoes.
Oh dear.
He cut them out, ready to work on them in the morning, and went to bed. When he awoke, though, he found that the shoes had been made, and they were the best shoes ever. Shop bell rings, customer comes in, they love the shoes so much they paid over the odds for them. Yeah, take my money.
Yeah, yeah, these shoes are incredible.
And with this, the shoemaker bought leather for two more shoes, pairs of shoes, cut them out, cut the leather out, and went to bed again. Same again. In the morning, they were made, so he bought enough leather for four pairs of shoes, and on until eventually he became rich. Now, one night, not long before Christmas, he said to his wife, "Shall we stay up tonight and see who's making the shoes?"
No.
Well, no, she agreed. She said, "Yeah, it's a bit weird. Probably good to find out what's going on." So they lit a candle and hid in like a wardrobe or something. And at midnight, two pretty little naked men appeared and started stitching and sewing. And eventually they completed the shoes and then they ran off. In the morning, his wife said, "We really owe those little guys. They must be so cold or naked. I'll make them shirts and coats and vests and trousers and stockings, and you make them a little pair of shoes." So they did all that, and when it was ready, they hid again and they left out their gifts. And at midnight, the elves appeared. They ran in, ready to get to work, but they stopped in their tracks when they saw the gifts. They loved them and got all dressed up, and they danced out of the house and never returned again. But the shoemaker and his wife lived well forever. The end. Of the first story.
What?
The second story goes as follows. There was once a servant girl. She one day received a letter. It was an invitation from the elves. They wished her to be a godmother and come to the christening.
Oh, yeah.
Now, her master and mistress said, "You gotta go. Don't refuse an invite from the elves. That's just asking for trouble." Yeah. So three elves appeared and they led her to a hollow mountain, and she went into the elf world where everything was small, but amazing and lavish and beautiful. And after the christening, they persuaded her to stay for 3 days, and she had a great time. And then eventually, after 3 days of partying, they gave her money and waved her off back home. When she got back, she picked up the broom to start working. The door burst open and strangers came out and said, "Who the heck are you?" Turns out, Adam, she wasn't away 3 days, but 7 years. And in that time, her old masters had died. The end. Of the second story, time for the third story.
What?
You don't remember this?
I didn't remember the second story. I don't remember the third story. What is happening?
Adam, once the elves stole away a newborn baby and replaced it with a changeling that ate a lot and had a large head and staring eyes. So the mum went to a neighbour to ask for help.
Help?
She said, "Look, I've been given a changeling. This isn't my baby. What can I do?" And the neighbour said, "I've got just the trick. Take it to the kitchen, light a fire, and boil water in two eggshells. This should make it laugh, which will be the end of it."
What?
So the woman took her changeling baby to the kitchen. She boiled the water in the shells, and the changeling started to laugh. And said, "Oh, I've never seen anything like that."
It's baby.
And then elves appeared and they swapped out the changeling for the original child. You know, sorry about that. Well played, though.
Yeah.
The end of the elves, all of the elves. The end. Now, that was story number 39 in the Grimm's Fairy Tales. And it was Grimm reading story 36. Adam, you gave it a score of 8.5, and I gave it a score of 8.5 for a grand total of 17.
Man, I need to lie down.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot.
That's a lot. It's three whole stories for one.
I only remembered one. I don't... What?
Well, the thing is, it's... the first story is the main story, yeah. Right? And the second two are like bonus tales.
Yeah.
And they aren't even great as stories, but what they do give is a kind of insight into the old belief in elves and how people thought of them.
Yeah.
If you vaguely remember from the episode, thinking about the history of elves. But the first one is a good story. It's really evocative.
It is, yeah.
Quite charming in a way.
It's sweet, yeah. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
But then the elves that appear in the second and third stories do not chime with the elves that appear in the first story. These sort of sweet, benevolent, like, these are mischievous little, I don't know what they're up to. What are they up to? Kidnapping a woman for 7 years? Swapping out babies? What are they doing?
Adam's fury.
What are they playing
at? That's just how elves operate.
Why are they doing these things? To what end?
They move in mysterious ways. You don't know why they do the things they do. Why were they sewing shoes naked at midnight?
I mean, that's weird.
That is weird. Why aren't you questioning that?
Because
all the behaviour's weird.
They were doing a good deed for the poor shoemaker.
Yeah.
But these parties that last 7 years, I mean, what is going on there?
Or do they last 3 days?
Well, I don't know.
There you go. Well, do they act differently from the elves in The Three Little Men in the Wood? This is a very elf-heavy group, Adam.
It is elf-heavy.
Second batch of elves.
They behave quite differently.
Yeah. But there's a sort of like, there's a power to them and you kind of don't want to cross them, right?
Yeah, true. You want to stay on the right side.
Yeah.
Stay on the good side. Matt, this is totally throwing me through a loop.
This whole thing. I quite like that this seems to have completely knocked you for six.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say I had literally no memory of parts 2 and 3. No memory at all. So...
Wow. It was a long time ago we did this one.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I was listening to the episode and I was sort of... It was a bit toe-curling, some of it.
Was it?
Yes, and I do feel like that was some of the early episodes. But the stories were... those were the stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were equally bewildered
at
the time.
I was. And I am all over again.
That is a very high score, I think.
I think it is. It's a bit on the high side for what it is.
Yeah. Well, gloves are off with Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 8 would have been respectable.
I think so.
For that, or even a bit lower.
Maybe even lower.
Yeah.
I mean...
Hey, look, that's why we got the wild cards, Adam.
Exactly, exactly.
That's why we got the wild cards.
Speaking of which...
Are you ready?
I'm not sure I am.
For an adventure.
I'm not sure I am ready. This adventure.
Next story. The final story in the recaps is the story of the youth who went forth to learn what fear was. It's loomed large in our imaginations for years. But do you remember what actually went down?
I think we're soon going to find out.
Let's do it.
The story of the youth who went forth to learn what fear was. Recap.
There was a guy who had 2 sons. One was smart and sensible, the other was stupid and couldn't do anything. When the smart son had to go through the graveyard, or he'd like listen to scary stories around the fire, he would say, "Oh, it makes me shudder."
Mm.
And the youngest, stupid son, said, "This stuff doesn't make me shudder. Oh, I wish I could shudder."
Don't we all?
And one day his dad said to him, "What do you want to do with your life?" And he said, "I should like to learn how to shudder." And a few days later, dad was chatting with the sexton. And he said, "Like my son literally said, I want to learn how to shudder as a job. What am I going to do with him?" And the sexton said, "Oh, I can help there." So the boy went to stay with him. And at midnight, he woke the boy up and said, "Go up to the bell tower and ring the bell."
Mm.
When the boy got up there, the sexton was standing there quietly with a sheet over him, like a Halloween ghost. The youth kept talking to him, but he just didn't move or say anything. So eventually he pushed him down the stairs, rang the bell and went to bed.
Classic.
Now, the sexton had broken his leg and his wife was furious. And when the father heard about this, he said, "You brought shame on me. Get out of my sight." So the boy headed out into the world, determined to learn how to shudder.
It's already brilliant. He's pushed a man wearing a sheet down the stairs. Come
That's
on.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
So he's out and about in the world, and he walked along constantly saying to himself, "If I could but shudder."
There we go. That's the classic line.
And at some point, a man heard him and says, "I can teach you if you give me your money. There's a certain place where 7 men have married the rope maker's daughter and are learning how to fly."
I remember this.
"Sit there at night and you'll learn how to shudder." The youth agreed and went to hang out at the gallows, because it's obviously people who've been hanged.
Yeah.
And so he's there, just underneath these dead men with a fire going, and he thought, oh, they must be quite cold up there. So he unbound the men, brought them down, and he propped them up with him by the fire. And at some point, their clothes caught alight in the fire, and this really annoyed the youth, and he hanged them back up again.
So insane. So
that didn't work. He's not learnt how to shudder. So he carried along his way saying, If I could but shudder. A wagoner heard him this time and said, "Give up your foolish chatter."
I'd forgotten that line. That's
there
great.
So many good lines that I've left out. So many.
Yeah.
But I sprinkled in a couple.
No, I'm enjoying them.
So the wagoner took him to an inn, and the innkeeper said, "Oh, you want to learn how to shudder? I've got just the thing." But his wife said, no, don't tell them that. Not somebody so good looking.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Is the youth good looking?
Yeah, he's an absolute hottie, Adam.
Whoa.
Comes
That's
up quite a
whole
lot. I
know. New dimension to the story.
But the youth was determined to learn and badgered the innkeeper, who told him about a certain haunted castle nearby. Mm. And the king has promised his daughter in marriage to anyone who could sleep in it for 3 nights. So the youth said, "Let's go, let's do it." They met the king, told him that he's up for it. And the king said, "Good on you. I'll give you 3 things to take with you into the castle. What'll it be?" And the youth said, "I'll have a fire, a turning lathe, and a knife." King said, "That's weird, but whatever you want."
Yeah, okay.
So youth goes into the haunted castle, and
yes,
he got set up in a room with a fire ready for the first night.
Yes.
Now, at midnight, he heard a meowing, and then 2 giant black cats came up and sat with him by the fire. And they said, "Shall we have a game of cards?" And the youth responded, "Yeah, but first show me your paws." Mm. "Oh, what long nails you have. Let me sort that out." And he grabbed his knife and killed them. Suddenly, out of every nook and cranny came black cats and dogs with red-hot iron chains, and he fought them off, and he killed some, threw some in the fish pond. Job done. All this animal fighting had tired him out.
Yeah.
So he looked around, and he saw a great bed in the corner.
Here we go.
So that's the very thing for me.
Yep.
And just as he was falling asleep, the bed took off round the castle like 6 horses were harnessed to it. And he said, "That's right, but go faster."
That's right.
But suddenly, hop hop, it turned over and lay on him like a mountain.
This, oh, it's all coming back, man. Oh, it's all coming back.
Those were the good days.
They really were.
He scrambled out from under the bed and he went to sleep by the fire. Like, no more of that. So that's the first night done.
This is just the first night.
That's first night done.
Wow.
Yeah. Next night, he's by the fire again, saying to himself, "If I could but shudder." When midnight struck, and a loud screaming sound shrilled through the room, and then half a man tumbled down the chimney and shouted, "Hollow!" And then the rest of him fell down.
What? I mean, again, which half?
Well, the rest of him falls down and he kind of puts himself back together,
okay,
I think.
Yep.
And the youth invited him to sit together by the fire. And they then had a wrestle over who got the bench, and the youth beat him off.
I don't remember that.
Then more men came down the chimney, bringing 9 dead men's legs and a skull, and they started bowling.
Oh, yeah, 9 pins, yeah.
The youth asked to join. "Can I play bowling with you guys?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Yeah, have you got any money?" And he replied, "I've got money enough, but your balls are not quite round." And he put the skull in the lathe and made it smooth, and they had a great evening bowling
Classic.
Together.
Yeah. incredible.
I'm summing this up really fast, but it's madness, isn't it?
But it just means the iconic lines are just coming so thick and fast.
I know, and this is like a selection.
This is like abridged, yeah, I know.
An abridged selection of iconic lines from the story of the youth.
Your ball's not quite round, hollow.
So that was the second night, done. Yeah. King came over in the morning, you know, hiya, just checking in. He's got croissants.
Yeah.
He's like, did you shudder? And he's like, no. And the king is astonished. So he's got one more night, Adam. Next night, final night. So he's sitting on his bench and some men appeared and brought in a coffin and laid it next to him.
Oh, yeah, I remember this bit.
And he said, oh, that must be my cousin who died a few days ago. Once again, he thought, oh, he must be cold. So he took him out of the coffin and propped him up by the fire with him. But that wasn't working. He wasn't warming up. So no. He thought, I know. When two people are in bed together, they get warm.
Hmm.
So he flopped his dead cousin in the bed and got in. And the dead man indeed warmed up and suddenly screamed, no, I will strangle you. But the youth beat him off and threw him back in the coffin. And the men came back in and removed him. So that's done. And then finally, a tall, terrifying looking man with a long white beard walked in. And he said, now you'll shudder, sonny, because you're dead meat. And the youth said, doubt it. I'm just as strong as you, maybe stronger. And the old man said, we'll see. And he grabbed an axe and he struck an anvil in half with one blow.
Whoa.
And the youth said, easy peasy. And he grabbed an axe and the old man came in close to inspect what he was doing. The youth slashed an anvil in half and he caught the old man's beard with the axe. And then he beat him with an iron rod until he surrendered. And he was like, oh yeah, all right, you win. And the old man then took him to another room and he said, here's a bunch of treasure. Some for you, some for the king and some for the poor. So he's done it.
He's completed the challenge.
Three nights in the haunted castle.
Yeah.
And now he marries the princess and he's rich, but he still hasn't learned how to shudder.
That's the thing.
Now, one night a maid heard him saying his classic refrain, if I could but shudder, if I could but shudder. And she thought, I've got just the thing. And she went to the stream and filled a bucket full of gudgeons. The princess stripped his clothes off him while he slept. And they poured the gudgeons on him.
Gudgeons being a fish of something.
A kind of slimy fish.
Ugh.
And he woke up shouting, oh, what makes me shudder? What makes me shudder? Yes, now I know how to shudder.
Yay.
The end. That is story number 4 in Kinder and Housemarken. And it was Grim Reading story number 13.
Mm.
And Adam, the scores were... You gave it 8.5 and I gave it 7.5 for a grand total of 16 points.
Whoa.
What do you think?
I love it. And the thing is, this is the one we always bring up if people ask, you know, it's often said, you know, what's the best story you've done or what's a really great one that isn't famous? This is what's often quoted. And we were right. I mean, come on, that's incredible.
It is good. I mean, it's quite a hard one to sort of, Precy, to sum up. I don't know if it kind of lost, something was lost in the summing up. Hopefully not.
It's just so jam-packed. I think, that's a good summation, but you're never going to...
capture that magic.
Capture that insanity, like, with an abridged version. But I was just thinking, like, what other story in the collection that we've read...
Yeah.
Ends with a bloke in bed with a load of fish. I mean, come on.
Come on.
So good.
Bloke in bed with a load of fish.
So good.
What are you talking about?
But yeah. I didn't help but notice when you read out the scores there.
Yeah. You're gonna enjoy this, aren't you? You're going to rub this in, are you?
I'm going to enjoy a little bit.
Yeah.
I gave 8.5, you gave 7.5. How do you feel about that, Matt?
Not good.
No.
I don't feel good, Adam.
No.
I feel terrible.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it's a 9 or a 10.
It
isn't
is.
It?
I mean, that's the thing. We both kind of underscored it, I think, there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But one to a higher degree.
Yeah. We've never had anything like that fully since.
No.
As out there.
No.
I don't think, not in that way, anyway.
No. I don't think so.
Since. Even, not just the ending, but
the whole
all
thing.
All of it?
Yeah.
Untying dead men and they get caught on fire.
And then hanging them back up.
Hanging them back up because he's really angry. He got really annoyed at them.
He got annoyed with some dead men.
It's bonkers, balmy, bananas, brilliant, I think.
It really is.
And I think, unlike in the last group, Group A, where we had all the tricksters, we had Gretel and Puss in Boots, this sort of hero, he just powers on through.
Yeah.
He's just using brute force.
Yeah.
He's not using any clever tricks to overcome.
No.
He's not using brains over brawn. He's just powering through on his kind of ignorance, in a way.
Well, exactly. It's almost like a Forrest Gump or something. Isn't it? It's like, doesn't actually know what's going on, but his ignorance is sort of a superpower.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible, isn't it? And you just think, okay, there's this fantastical castle with all these weird threats that come out. Mm. How would a human being respond to this particular threat?
Mm-hmm.
You would never guess in a million years how this guy, the youth, will respond to each one. He will always subvert your expectations.
Yeah, he offers the cat to cut their nails, their claws.
Just stabs him.
And then just stabs it to death and throws some in the fish pond.
Coffin comes out, that'll be my cousin.
That'll be my cousin.
Jumps in bed with him. I mean, who could have guessed that? Just incredible.
He's absolutely obsessed with warming up dead people.
He is, isn't he?
I realise.
Yeah.
He's just constantly warming up the dead.
Yeah. What's up with that? What is up with
I think
that?
His dad was right at the beginning. He is somebody who knows nothing. Yeah. I didn't pick up on just how good looking he was initially.
No.
So the innkeeper's wife said that. Also, I left it out, but there's a bit where the king refers to how handsome he is.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's ever happened since. I don't think we've had a story where they keep going, gosh, they're so good looking. Look at their dreamy eyes. So that's a weird element to it that we missed out on the first time.
Oh, it's so good, man.
Yeah.
So this was, obviously, we picked four wild cards of sort of slightly lower scoring stories to enter the tournament. Matt's picked two, I picked two. This was one of my choices, but I feel like it could easily be in one of yours.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think we both feel quite strongly about it.
I feel very strongly about this one.
Yeah.
It's very close to my heart.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just every element of it is just completely mad.
Yeah.
I think I'd forgotten quite how many mad things there are in it.
Yeah.
So I remembered lots of it. But
because story 13, did you say?
Yeah.
So it's going back a long time.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's one of that there are lots of funny moments in all of these stories, and we get mileage out of them and we enjoy them in the moment. But I think this is one of maybe a couple of times where we've properly lost it.
Yeah.
Like just completely lost it.
Yeah.
It's just,
if you listen to the story,
yeah,
the episodes,
yeah,
we are having a ball.
Yeah.
Like it's completely blowing us away.
Falling off your chair, sort of like,
yeah,
that level of funny.
So what are the elements that have stayed with you over the years? And what are some things from that recap that maybe you'd forgotten but you enjoyed?
So I remembered quite a few elements of the castle bit. I remembered the cats. I remembered the cousin in the coffin.
Mm.
I remembered the nine-pin bowling.
Yes.
And I think I'd remembered the hanging people and
yeah, yeah.
I remember him treating them as if they were alive. I think I'd forgotten that he tried to warm them up and then hung them back up again.
Seven men have married the rope maker's daughter and are learning how to fly.
But, I mean, what incredible line that is.
Oh, the lines are so good.
One thing I'd totally forgotten about was the bit at the beginning where
the sexton.
Yeah, under a sheet and he pushes him down the stairs and he breaks his leg. I'd forgotten all about that. That's
I just
brilliant.
Love, I don't know if I kind of sold it in the recap, but the sexton's just there completely still and quiet and the youth's just shouting at him like, who are you? And he just doesn't say a word. I love that. It's just completely silent.
But,
under the sheet going, this isn't really working, is it?
So it's like, what has he said to the dad? He's like, I can make him shudder.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes up to the top of the tower and stands perfectly still. He doesn't go, he just stands still.
Yeah.
Like a piece of furniture.
Until the youth pushes him
down the stairs.
I think I've remembered the gudgeons bit.
Oh, yeah.
I've remembered the bowling, definitely.
Yeah.
And actually, even that old man, I'd remembered.
I'd forgotten about the old sort man, of
boss level old man.
Yeah. Had you remembered how he defeated him?
Yeah.
Oh, you remember that?
And
okay.
I also remember the innkeeper, because I think it was the first time we had an innkeeper, and I do love an innkeeper. And
yeah.
We'll be having them in other groups coming up. But a sort of exposition innkeeper.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
It's just polishing a tankard and explaining, well, that castle over there's haunted, and the king has said, if anyone stays there 3 nights, they'll get to marry his daughter.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you.
Thanks for that information. Oh, that happens so many times, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking about all the times that happens. No, you're so right. That was brilliant. Just a brilliant story.
Well, there we have it. Those are the five stories in Group B of Grimbledon. Voting is now live. So you can vote for your favourite story of the group by voting in our poll, which you'll find a link to in the episode description. So if you're listening on a podcast app, just scroll down, or on Spotify, and you'll just find a link that will say Group B voting poll.
Yep.
Click through, choose your favourite story and send it. We'll also put links on social media and everywhere, so you should easily be able to find the voting link. Please do vote. The top two stories, the two stories from this group with the most votes, will go through to the semi-final. So yeah, please do vote.
Get voting.
We want as many people to be involved as possible. So,
and we've obviously...
Get stuck in.
We've given our thoughts on each episode. And we do indeed need to jot down our choices, don't we?
Yes. So Adam and I will now write down our top two stories from this group. So when you're voting, you just vote for one. But me and Adam are going to write down our top two choices, because two stories will go through.
Yeah.
This is just for our own amusement.
Yeah.
Unless there is a public tie. And if there is a tie for the top one of the top two positions, then Adam's choices that he makes now will impact which story makes it through. So, should we write down our top two choices, Adam?
Let's do it now. Okay, so we're just handing Matt a little bit of paper there. Put one here. Here's a pen.
Thank you.
And we're going to write down our favourite two stories. So, fold those over, yep. And then we're going to put that in an envelope marked Group B.
Done.
Thank you. And what we're going to do then is seal that up and open it later on.
In the group results episode.
So that is now sealed up there. I'm going to pop
Wonderful.
It next to the Group A envelope, ready to go. Look at that.
Cannot wait to see which ones you've chosen.
Likewise.
Not long to go now.
No.
Three episodes time.
Yeah.
Well, as well as Grimbledon main contest, we're also running a series of special awards polls for our patrons to vote on, adjacent to the main competition. Last time, we had most iconic piece of clothing. This time, the award is for best death.
Another great category.
Some of the ones that either shocked us at the time or have left a lasting impression.
Mm.
It's been tough making a shortlist.
I'm sure there's been a fair share of gruesome or memorable deaths, haven't there?
So I've whittled it down to eight, I think.
Okay, eight deaths.
I've left out the wolf drowning in boiling sausage water.
Whoa, controversial. Yeah,
that's how tough this has been.
Yeah.
To choose.
I can't wait to hear the short list of deaths.
Okay. So, the nominations.
The nominations for best death are...
Snow White. Wicked stepmother is forced to dance to death in red hot iron shoes during Snow White's wedding. Whoa. Now that's a death.
That's
right
that
there.
Is,
that's a great death.
Certainly is a death.
That is a death, if ever I've seen one. Absolute madness.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it's at her wedding as well.
I know, just to add insult to injury, isn't it?
And Snow White's had the shoes like heated up during the ceremony. It's just part of the entertainment. Brutal.
That is brutal. Absolutely that is a brutal, brutal one.
And not something you expect from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Disney left that bit out.
Yeah, they certainly did. I think they should put it back in.
Nomination two is for The Three Little Men in the Woods. Stepmom and stepsister are put in a barrel stuck full of nails and rolled down the hill into the river.
First proper death I think we had on the podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's the thing. At the time, it totally blew our minds.
It really did.
Because that was the first brutal end justice death that we'd had. And it's always stayed with me.
I think it stayed with me too.
And it's the fact they pronounce their own sentence as well.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
her idea.
It's the cruel irony of it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that certainly is a good one.
Nomination three, The Three Snake Leaves.
Mm.
So, if you remember...
I don't.
So, the king's daughter, she was with a guy and she cheated on him.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, a sailor.
Oh, yeah.
And then her and her lover tried to kill him, her husband. So, they, like, threw him overboard the ship.
Oh, they're... Yes, yes.
So, then he tells her dad what's happened. So, her dad put... his daughter and her lover on a ship and pierced it with holes set it out to sea where it sank and they drowned.
Wow.
I don't know why, but that's another one that's always stayed with me. That they were put on a ship, with holes, and it set out to sea. I think it's the fact that they've wasted a ship.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really...
the real tragedy here, I think, is that they've wasted a ship.
Let me rephrase that. It's a very expensive death.
Let me rephrase that. It was a really nice ship.
Let me. I know how that sounds. Look, that ship was amazing. No, it's a very grand way to kill your own daughter.
I know what you mean, because in a sense, in the context of these fairy tales, drowning is actually quite prosaic. But the theatrics of the ship with holes, I know what you mean. And that
Absolutely.
Sort of slow inevitability of like, this is, there's nothing we can do to stop it. We're going down.
So many drownings, Adam, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I was reading through all the deaths. And
see,
there were so many drownings.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I think that's the only one that made the shortlist.
Well, that's a pretty spectacular drowning.
That's a real shame. Okay, nomination four is for... The Juniper Tree. Decapitating your stepson in a trunk.
Yeah, that's up there
so
for sure.
Stepmom said, poke your head in there to get an apple. And then while the little boy poked his head in, she slammed the lid down on his neck. She then cooked him and fed him to his own father.
What?
As we'll be hearing next time.
It's a Scrooge C, yeah. My word. I think the thing with this death that's interesting, maybe... Is that I'm guessing, well, certainly the deaths so far and possibly the rest are to like a baddie at the end of a story, right? This is happening like a third of the way in.
Yes. Story hasn't even begun when she decapitates her son in a trunk.
That's crazy.
Nomination five is for Rumpelstiltskin. Little Rumpelstiltskin was so angry that they found out his name that he slammed his foot into the floor, which got stuck. He then pulled at it so hard that he tore himself in two.
Yeah.
He tore himself in two.
He tore himself in two.
By ripping his leg up. Incredible.
I mean, that is one of those that I actually can't picture how he did that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
How does
at all.
He rip himself in two? Well, he tries to pull his leg up and, like, from his head through to his, like.
I think he actually. He grabs the leg that isn't stuck in the floor and flips it up really high.
So high that, it, like, starting at the sort of, like, groin, it just sort of and goes all the way up.
Yeah. First time I use that word on the podcast. I just love the idea that he's, like, having a little tantrum. He's like, yeah. He's so angry.
But he has such a severe tantrum, he rips himself in two.
Yeah.
It's quite bad, isn't it? That's an iconic death, for sure.
Nomination 6 is for Sweetheart Roland. Forcing a witch to dance to death through a magical violin. So, they're running away from the witch. The girl became a flower in the briar hedge, and Roland was a musician, and the witch tried to pluck the flower, but he violined magically, and she was forced to dance to death, and the thorns, like, ripped her to shreds.
And I think in the story, she was essentially in the hedge, wasn't she?
Yes. Well, again, it's a slight spoiler, because we'll be having that story. Okay. That is in Grimbledon, but another fantastic, quite an original death there.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
That's
and very unpleasant to picture.
Very. Wow. Wow, this is dark, isn't it?
What, best death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just hitting me now.
Nomination 7 is for The Singing Bones.
Ooh.
Bashed on head by brother and killed. So, I don't know if you remember that one, but the two brothers were walking home together. Out of the forest, they came to a small bridge. The main brother went first, the other one following behind, who then murdered him.
Right, yeah.
He bashed him on the back of the head and killed him. The thing with this one is, it was an actual murder.
Yeah.
Of the main character.
Yeah.
By his own brother.
Yeah.
And he didn't magically come back alive. His bones sang about what happened.
So there
later.
Was some magic. Yeah.
There was magic. Well, that was magic. Oh, don't get me wrong, there was magic.
Yeah.
But he actually killed his own brother. And it was that sort of, it's like a twist.
Yeah.
In like a drama show.
Well, this is it. I do remember we sort of said this one felt like a sort of Scandi noir.
Yeah, well remembered.
And it really does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it's not maybe the actual death or killing.
Yeah.
It's the impact it has on the story.
Yeah.
That's powerful with this one.
No, you're right. I mean, to have a sort of brutal spur of the moment murder feels out of character for these fairy tales, and it stands out in that way. I think that's a good choice.
The final nomination for best death is...
They don't have this at the Oscars, do they? This category.
It's actually the second nomination for this story.
Oh.
It's the 12 brothers. Oh. Stepmother was put in a barrel filled with boiling oil and venomous snakes and died a miserable death.
Absolute classic. And I will say it again. I said it at the time.
Exactly what you're going to say.
The snakes are redundant. They're already dead. They're in a vat of burning oil.
You don't need both of them.
No.
It's just overkill.
It's overkill. It's gilding the lily.
So, if anything, the snakes were going through what the stepmother was going
through. Yeah, exactly.
They're just being boiled alive together.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it. That's why I love that death. That's such a good death.
It really is.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, there you have it. Those are the 8 nominations for best death. Snow White, Dance to Death in Red Hot Iron Shoes, Three Little Men in the Woods, Stuck in a Barrel Full of Nails and Rolled Down the Hill into Water, The Three Snake Leaves Put on a Ship Pierced with Holes, The Juniper Tree, Decapitating Stepson in a Trunk, Rumpelstiltskin, who's so angry that he tore himself in two, Sweetheart Roland, violining a witch to death,
yep.
The Singing Bones, bashing your brother on the head and killing him and changing the whole course of the story, and The 12 Brothers, boiling oil and venomous snakes.
Wow. So... how are people voting on this, Matt?
So this is exclusively for patrons of $1 a month and upwards. Anyone who's a patron can vote in this poll, which will be live tomorrow.
Mm.
If you're a patron, you'll receive an email, I believe, but you'll also be able to find it on our Patreon page.
Yeah. And that stays live for a week.
Yes. Very good, Adam. That will be live for exactly 1 week
from
now. And so, yes, patrons, please get voting for our third special award.
Yeah. And just like with the Group B results, Matt and I are also going to put our choice in. We've each got an envelope for the special awards. There's yours, Matt.
Thank you.
And so we've already noted our choices for the first two polls. This is going to be for the third poll. Okay. Okay.
There we go. We voted.
Put those in the envelopes.
Honestly, Adam, there were so many I left out.
I can imagine. Must have been difficult whittling that down.
It was. Actually, yeah, in our Patreon Grim Fables episode, I'll share the other ones that didn't make the list.
Yeah, you absolutely should.
Because they are amazing. Lots of drownings. Sorry to deprive you of all the drownings. Well, there we go. We've done the recaps. We've done the special award poll. There's only one thing left to do. It's time, Adam, to read one of the Brothers Grimm's children's legends.
Yay!
So, just a reminder, these are 10 stories that feature at the end of the Grimm's fairy tales, like in an appendix. There's just an extra little section of stories that are referred to as children's legends. Not exaggerating when I say there was literally nothing out there about this.
Wow.
I don't know what they are. I don't know why they are. I don't know how they are.
Or who they are.
But we need to read them.
Yes.
Now, we're going to read one now, because I promised it last time.
Yeah.
But I think for the remaining group episodes, we're going to park the children's legends, because these episodes are already very, very long.
And we've got some big stories coming up.
Indeed we do. So we will find a time to read the children's legends. We might have to bunch them together.
Okay.
Maybe put them in the results episode. But after tonight, you're going to have to wait for your children's legends a little bit. Oh,
come on.
So the one I promised you last time.
Yeah.
Was the one with the picture of the girl with a big nose.
Yeah.
It's actually the first children's legend, so it makes sense to read it now.
Hey, nice.
But it is quite a long one.
Okay.
Compared to the story of the youth, I mean, it's like, there's nothing.
But it's a footnote, but...
Exactly. But, we're going to try and read it quickly, everyone, basically, okay. is what I'm trying to say.
Rattle through it.
The children's legend is called St. Joseph in the Forest. And it may sound a little bit familiar.
St. Joseph in the Forest.
There was once upon a time a mother who had three daughters, the eldest of whom was rude and wicked, the second much better, although she had her faults, but the youngest was a pious, good child. The mother, however, was so strange that it was just the eldest daughter whom she most loved, and she could not bear the youngest.
How strange.
On this account, she often sent the poor girl out into the great forest in order to get rid of her, for she thought that she would lose herself and never come back again. But the guardian angel, which every good child has, did not forsake her, but always brought her into the right path again. Once, however, the guardian angel behaved as if he was not there, and the child could not find her way out of the forest again. She walked on constantly until evening came, and then she saw a tiny light burning in the distance, ran up to it at once, and came to a little hut. She knocked, the door opened, and she came to a second door, where she knocked again. An old man, who had a snow-white beard and looked venerable, opened it for her, and he was none other than St. Joseph.
Matt, who is St. Joseph?
It's Joseph.
That's Joseph.
You know, husband of Mary.
Right. He's in Joe. This hut in the woods.
Old Joe, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he said quite kindly, "Come, dear child, seat yourself on my little chair by the fire and warm yourself. I will fetch you clear water if you're thirsty. But here in the forest, I have nothing for you to eat but a couple of little roots, which you must first scrape and boil." St. Joseph gave her the roots. The girl scraped them clean. Then she bought a piece of pancake and the bread that her mother had given her to take with her, mixed all together in a pan, and cooked herself a thick soup. When it was ready, St. Joseph said, "Oh, I'm so hungry. Give me some of your food." The child was quite willing and gave him more than she kept for herself. But God's blessing was with her so that she was satisfied. When they had eaten, St. Joseph said, "Now we will go to bed. I have, however, only one bed. Lay yourself in it. I will lie on the ground in the straw." "No," answered she. "Stay in your own bed. The straw is soft enough for me."
Oh.
But St. Joseph took the child in his arms and carried her into the little bed, and there she said her prayers and fell asleep. Next morning, when she awoke, she wanted to say good morning to St. Joseph, but she did not see him. Then she got up and looked for him, but could not find him anywhere. At last she perceived behind the door a bag with money so heavy that she could just carry it, and on it was written that it was for the child who had slept there that night. On this she took the bag, bounded away with it, and got safely to her mother, and as she gave her mother all the money, she could not help but being satisfied with her. The next day, the second child also took a fancy to go into the forest. Her mother gave her a much larger piece of pancake and bread. It happened because this is the one that she kind of likes.
This is the medium one, yeah. Does the medium one get like half a guardian angel? Because like all good kids have a guardian angel.
Yeah.
The bad one doesn't.
Ooh.
Does the medium one have like half a one?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
So she's out there in the forest. It happened with her just as with the first child. In the evening, she came to St. Joseph's little hut, who gave her roots for thick soup. When it was ready, he likewise said to her, "I'm so hungry, give me some of your food." Then the child said, "You may have your share." Afterwards, when St. Joseph offered her his bed and wanted to lie on the straw, she replied, "No, lie down in the bed. There's plenty of room for both of us." St. Joseph took her in his arms and put her in the bed and laid himself on the straw. In the morning, so I've just seen Adam's face. You're right over there.
I hope so.
In the morning, when the child awoke and looked for St. Joseph, he had vanished. But behind the door, she found a little sack of money that was about as long as a hand. And on it was written that it was
about as long as a hand.
Universal measurement. That it was written that it was for a child who the child had slept there that night.
Yeah.
So she took it home and gave it to her mother, but she secretly kept two pieces of gold for herself. The eldest daughter had by this time grown quite inquisitive, and the next morning also insisted on going out into the forest. Her mother gave her pancakes, as many as she wanted, and bread and cheese as well. In the evening she found St. Joseph in his little hut, just as the two others had found him. When the soup was ready, and St. Joseph said, "I'm so hungry, give me some of your food."
Cheesy soup this time.
The girl answered, "Wait until I'm satisfied. Then if there is anything left, you shall have it." But she ate nearly the whole of it, St. Joseph had to scrape the dish. Afterwards, the good old man offered her his bed and wanted to lie down on the straw. She took it without making any opposition, laid herself down in the bed, and left the hard straw to the white-haired man. Next morning, when she awoke, St. Joseph was not to be found, but she did not trouble herself about that. She looked behind the door for a money bag. She fancied something was lying on the ground, but as she could not very well distinguish what it was, she stooped down so that she touched it with her nose, where it remained hanging. And when she got up again, she saw, to her horror, that it was a second nose, which was hanging fast to her own.
Wait, what?
She's got a nose on her nose.
She's got a nose on her nose?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Then she began to scream and howl, but that did no good. She always had to look at her nose, for it stretched out so far. Then she ran out and screamed without stopping till she met St. Joseph, at whose feet she fell and begged until, out of pity, he took the nose off her again, and even gave her 2 farthings. When she got home, her mother was standing before the door and asked, "What have you had given to you?" Then she lied and said, "A great bag of money, but I've lost it on the way." "Lost it?" cried the mother. "Oh, but we'll soon find it again." And she took her by the hand and wanted to seek it with her. At first she began to cry and did not wish to go, but at last she went. On the way, however, so many lizards and snakes broke loose on both of them that they did not know how to save themselves. At last, they stung the wicked child to death, and they stung the mother in the foot because she had not brought her up better. The end.
What on earth? What? You? Why?
There we go. That was the children's legend, St. Joseph in the Forest.
That's mad.
Does it remind you of anything?
Yes. It reminds me a bit of Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a story that was really short that I can't remember the name of. Of a little girl who visits someone in a little hut.
Could that be The Three Little Men in the Wood?
No, I do remember that one. Yeah, no, that does. It's very similar, actually.
Yeah.
It's perfect for this group.
So you've got the little girl goes out, finds someone in a hut who then rewards her because she's good.
Good
and then
virtuous.
Her stepsisters arrive and one of them is punished.
Yeah,
much like in The Three Little Men in the Wood.
Except in this one, there's a middle child
yeah.
who as I understand it, was still kind of good, but not quite as good. So she got a smaller bag of money, is that right?
About the size of a hand.
About the length of a hand.
About the length of a hand. Don't know how wide it was. Yeah, we've never had that before. We never had the middle child.
No.
We normally get a good and a bad sister.
There's a reason you don't get the middle child. It muddies the waters too much. It does.
That's confusing.
And then at the end, it's like, are the snakes and lizards so sort of morally upright that they jump on them because they're bad people?
We don't know. Or maybe it's sort of divine justice.
Yeah.
Sending the reptiles in to finish the job.
They do finish the job.
Yeah, so very like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, very much.
Quite earnest, quite a clear moral message in there.
Yeah.
I got one question for you. My only question, actually, before I think we should rate the story and finish the episode.
Yeah.
Do you give more to the other person when you're making a meal and serving it up? Say you've got two bowls. How do you divide the food that you've made?
Oh, interesting question. I think typically if I have a guest, I would probably give them a bit more. However, if it's someone I know and I know that I have a bigger appetite than them, I'm happy serving myself up a bit more.
Yeah.
My favourite thing to do, though,
is
to serve it up with them and I say, how much do you want?
Yeah.
And then I'll take however much I want and there might be leftovers.
Is that what you would have said to St. Joseph? How much
maybe.
Do you want, Joseph?
Yeah, how much do you want? Is that about right? This soup that I made from roots, bread and pancake, which doesn't make soup, guys.
It's my favourite.
It doesn't make
a bit more, please, Adam.
Pancake, bread and roots.
I have this weird thing. So I try and do it evenly or give the other person a bit more. But I get into my head as I'm serving because I do a little bit in each bowl.
Yeah.
I don't fill one up, then fill the other up. But I get in my head that one of them is mine. That is my bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I fill it up. That sounds mad. Do you know what I mean? I'm not like, oh, take whichever one you want. I'm like, no, that's my one. Even if it's got less in it or more, I'm like, that's my one. I've thought about that one and I want that one.
I see what you mean. I think if I'm trying to do it equally, I will then say, take one, whichever one you want. Even if maybe in my head one is mine. But that's interesting you actually stick by that then and say, whoa, not that one.
100%. Don't get in my way.
That one's mine.
Well, thank you for answering the question, Adam. It's time to rate that story. We can give it 1 to 5 Grimms each. How many Grimms are you given that? Children's legend.
So the previous one I think we both gave 3 out of 5 Grimms.
Very high score for that one, I feel.
I think this one is rated higher. And I...
Okay.
My gut is saying 4.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 Grimms, I think.
I was thinking exactly the same.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying that, but I do think that is a 4 out of 5 Grimms.
Yeah.
Children's legend right there. I think there's one other one that's that long.
Okay.
And the rest of them are super short. But it felt right to read that in the episode with the 3 Little Men in the Wood.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And actually, I know we're really running out of time, but just the one element of the story I cannot believe I haven't commented on yet is the nose on the nose.
Yeah. Yes.
She had a nose on her nose.
Maybe it's 5 out of 5 Grimms for this one.
Oh, honestly, I'm talking myself out this score, but no. 4 out of 5. Has to be 4 out of 5.
Yeah. Amazing. As I said, we will not be having any more children's legends in the upcoming group episodes, the next 2 episodes, just for time reasons. It's a bit too jam-packed, is my feeling.
Yeah.
So we'll save those for another time, but they'll definitely appear shortly.
Yeah, either in like results episode or maybe in the semi-finals or final or something like that.
Yeah, and we could do like a bunch of them together or something.
Yeah,
have a little children's legends binge.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds great. Well, it's been fun.
It certainly has.
Back down memory lane once again. And I'm looking forward to Group C, where we do have a very interesting bunch of stories.
Intriguing. Well, I look forward to it. And until then, please, for goodness sake, keep it grim.
Keep it grim, everyone. And please vote for your favourite story in the poll. See you next time.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye. If you'd like to support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/grimreading to find out how, and also see the range of benefits available as a thank you from us. You can, of course, email us at grimreadingpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at grimreadingpod, and we're also on Instagram and Facebook at grimreading. You can find us on Podbean, podbean.com/grimreading, and we also have a website, grimreading.wordpress.com. Keep it grim.